Most of the issues we deal with in life and business and family, in my opinion, goes down to one root cause. And I need everybody to look in the mirror on this one. The root cause of it is we are inherently lazy creatures. We are designed to actually not do the work. Our brains require so much energy to do these things we talk about: exercise, work, waking up early, putting the phone down, not eating the cookie. That is so much energy that the brain says, don't do it. The brain thinks we're not going to see food again for a while, so it tells you to consume the cookie. The brain thinks the cold plunge is going to kill us, so it tells you not to get in the cold plunge. And the sooner we recognize that our brains, our bodies are designed to actually be in comfort, then the sooner we'll understand that's the reason. That's the real reason you don't want to do this or you don't want to do that.
Welcome to the Mountain Tough Podcast, brought to you by Sig Sauer. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Mountain Tough Podcast. It is our goal to bring you inspiring guests week after week that help you sharpen up, level up, become more resilient so that you can live that virtuous, abundant life and pursue your dreams. If you are a new listener or a loyal listener and you haven't left a ranking or review, those do mean the world to us here at Mountain Tough. So if you have a second to do that, that would be awesome. Those rankings and reviews, they do help these episodes get out to more people to change more lives. Shifting gears over to Mountain Tough, I want to let you know about the gym daily. Inside of the Mountain Tough app, over the last 2 years, we've worked on a product that's called the MGD. Many of you are using the MGD and know that product. It's a fresh, minimal gear workout every 24 hours. Fully coached, you hit play and you're competing with two Mountain Tough athletes or benchmarking off of them. We are doing the same thing, the same product with gym equipment. So if you're at a gym, a facility, or a home gym with a squat rack, maybe one or two cardio machines like a skier, rower, assault bike, we have a fresh 24-hour training workout for you now inside of the Mountain Tough Plus app. It is a phenomenal product. When I'm at home on the weekends and I go into our basement gym, I love the MGD, but sometimes I want to work on a barbell a little bit as well, or I want to hit that assault bike. If you're like that, this is the product for you. 5 days a week, fresh, always working on a different progression and training cycle. So make sure you check that out in Mountain Tough Plus. And remember, in Mountain Tough Plus, you can always start on a 14-day free trial. So if you haven't downloaded the app before, just download that. You'll get 14 days for free. So you can try those MGDs or that gym daily for 2 weeks before you make a decision. We know you're going to love it. And it's always on that 14-day free trial. Shifting gears now to today's guest. This is one of my favorite episodes ever. This guy is an inspiration. Today, I sit down with Joe DeSena, the founder of Spartan. Now, Joe has a strong, strong passion for making the world more resilient, making our kids more mentally tough, building that mindset so that we have a healthy country, very patriotic. We talk a lot about that today. What does it take to curb this shift in American health so that we are more resilient, more fit? We are ready to handle the hard things that life is going to throw our way. Joe breaks down some really hard things he went through. COVID was very hard on the Spartan business because it is an events-based business. We're going to break that down, and then he's going to end with some advice on things that we're going to want to think about to change our country in the positive direction from a fitness and health perspective. Really fun episode. Joe has a lot of passion. He's an awesome guy. So stand by for my conversation with Joe DeSena, the founder and CEO of Spartan.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who's running a big business in New York. Like, he had 80,000 square feet in the Trade Center, I guess the the Freedom Tower, and his place looked empty, and we were commiserating on how hard business was post COVID. Aside from the disaster I went through, where races got closed, I couldn't sell tickets, I couldn't pay bills. Aside from all that, our employees, our staff, which we need to run our business, were not coming in. His were not coming in. So we're crying on each other's shoulder here virtually. And he goes, you know what's strange? I said, what's strange? He said, in Indianapolis, I have a division. I have about 500 people. They never stop coming to the office in Indianapolis. They whistle to work. They carry their lunch boxes. They go into the office. And so it was almost, it was unbelievable as I was listening to this. So I said, I'm going to Indianapolis. I said, Susan, book me a flight to Indianapolis. I'm going tomorrow.
Go check it
out.
So
I said, I got to see Ryan. I got to see your office. Tell me where it is. So he was next to an old Coca-Cola bottling plant in downtown Indianapolis. It was awesome. They were converting the bottling plant into like restaurants and businesses, and Salesforce.com was there and Angie's List. And I'm like, it's like I stumbled upon a place where everybody's still working. It's unbelievable. Now, anybody listening to this podcast right now that is working for somebody else is completely frustrated with what I'm saying, because as an employee, we don't want to go to work, right? And our answer, and we're going to get into this if it's okay with you.
Yeah, I love it.
Our answer as an employee is, we did just as well from home. We're actually more proficient at home. We don't have to waste our time driving to work. All that stuff, all that friction is gone. We get more done from home. I get it. Those are logical arguments. The problem is that the boss, in this case, me, I'm not as proficient at home. I'm not as proficient having you at home and not around me where I could walk over and say, hey, why don't we do this? Or have you thought about this? I got to find you. You might be at the dentist. You might be walking your dog. You might have to book a Zoom call with me on Monday instead of me taking care of it today.
In 5 minutes, right? Sometimes too.
So, but I get it. And I'm not picking on anybody. It's just, I just want everybody to understand both sides of it. So anyway, I am awestruck at what I'm seeing in Indianapolis. And I'm like, I'm moving to Indianapolis. We're moving the office to Indianapolis. I start negotiating while I'm there, what space I could take. I'm looking at office space. I'm laying the whole plan out. I'm getting in touch with the mayor of Indianapolis. Is there any kind of tax subsidy you can give me if Spartan moves to Indianapolis? And I call my friend, my buddy owns Saks Fifth Avenue. The most unlikely friend that Joe from Spartan would have is my buddy carries around two poodles, literally two poodles, and he owns the most luxurious retailer in the world, selling all kinds of superficial stuff. And for whatever reason, we're great friends. And I think it's because I wake up at 5 a.m. and he wakes up at 5. He's a go-getter.
Yeah.
We just get along. And he gives me incredible advice, and he's helped me a lot along the way. And I call him up. I say, Richard, I found this place. You won't believe it. I said, they all come to work. This is going to be great. I'm moving to Indianapolis. He goes, you're an idiot. I go, why am I an idiot? He goes, your wife is not moving to Indianapolis. It's not going to fly. And I said, oh, you're right.
The winter.
That's a good point. I hadn't considered that. Moving really fast. And so I started thinking about very quickly, are there other places that I could move to where I could re-energize the business quickly? Because we were dying. We were literally, like, COVID was killing the company, right? We got shut down in 45 countries. I couldn't sell tickets. I all these people didn't come into work. So, like, bills weren't being processed the way they were supposed to be. But mail wasn't being open. Like, I had to move somewhere, re-energize, hire some new people. And so I heard about a wrestling program down in Orlando. And my boys, we have two boys, two girls, and the boys wrestle, and, you know, top five program in the country. And so I said to my wife, you know, I know you don't want to go to Indianapolis because we spoke about it, but How about Florida? I didn't even say Orlando. How about Florida, right? It's more general. Yeah. I got a shot at getting a good answer.
Florida sounds nice.
Florida sounds nice because then, you know, if you're my wife, you're thinking beach. and so I book a couple of flights. We come down to Orlando together. We stay in this great little town I had never been to in my life called Winter Park. Very fancy. Brick roads. I guess the Tiffany's family, years and years and years ago, when Walt Disney was building Disney, the Tiffany's family came down and built this place called Winter Park. And it's like idyllic and brick roads. And it almost feels like New England. So we stayed in this 1920s awesome hotel. And I woke up at 4 a.m. and I decided to run to the wrestling room. It's like 4 or 5 miles away. I was going to jog to the wrestling room because while I was jogging, I would see this town. Always better to see a place by foot or on a bicycle or kayak.
That's smart.
And so, right? So I'm running and the coach gave me the code to the room. And I got there, it was like 5 a.m. And I walk into this giant, you know, 15,000 square foot, 20 foot high ceiling wrestling room. And it's got banners, it's got 100 banners hanging of first place, second place. And there's names and all these awards and trophies. And I'm like, oh my God, we are out of our league here. My boys are not at this level, right? And I walk over to the Airdyne bike, which I hardly ever use. I was a big cyclist for a period of my life, but never on an Airdyne bike. And I go over to the Airdyne bike and I figure I'll get the next 2 hours of workouts done in this room alone. Mm-hmm. And I just sit there and I'm biking and burning, you know, calories. And I'm looking at these hanging flags and I'm thinking, would I really move down to Orlando? Like, I'm almost embarrassed to say Orlando. Like, it sounds like plastic town. I'm a farm guy. I got a mountain in Vermont.
Horses.
Like, I'm going to be in Orlando. And my wife had been pushing me really, really hard on this idea that, you know, at some point the kids go to high school and they probably should be around other kids and they probably should start to build roots and friendships and this whole thing. And she has our girls playing soccer, and soccer, you really do need other soccer players. Like, it's very hard to become proficient at soccer without a good team around you. And I'm looking at these banners and I'm on that bike and I'm thinking, you know what? We got to do this because this is so out of our comfort zone, so far from where I want to be, that usually tells me that's what I'm supposed to do.
Man.
Right? If it's really uncomfortable, it's something I don't want to do, that's usually the signal that this is what we have to do. And by the way, it wouldn't be a fatal decision. I could always pivot. We could move back in 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And so then, the story gets better, by the way. Then, so I meet the coach. He comes in. I'm like, done. We're coming. See the school. School's unbelievable. Literally the best school in the world, as crazy as that sounds. School's unbelievable. And now I got to find an office space. So somebody introduces me to this family that owns this area called Lake Nona. Lake Nona is 20,000 acres, and it's pretty close to the Orlando airport. The reason that is relevant, and I never mattered to me. It didn't like horse and buggy, bicycle, run, like traveling, like the friction of traveling never scared me or bothered me. But most of the world, right, is looking for an easy, fast way to get in and out of an airport, be able to fly from everywhere, cheap flights. The Orlando airport is right next to Lake Nona. Orlando airport moves 75 million people a year through it because of Disney. Crazy. 75 million people a year. When you go into the airport in Orlando, it's unbelievable to me because it's not like a super modern airport like Denver was at one point. Remember when they built the Denver? Like, it's not like that. And somehow they figured out how to move people through this airport. But anyway, this little town, Lake Nona, owned by a family that owns 300 companies, built by a guy who's 86 years old who did it unbelievably on his own. Owns this 20,000 acres, builds a golf course, puts in a VA, a giant VA, puts in a few hospitals, a giant performance center, a KPMG training headquarters with 800 room hotel. And it's right next to the airport. And so like, I'm sitting here right now talking to you. I got a flight at 6 PM. I could leave at, you know, 4:45, be there in 10 minutes, zip right in, go right through the line. And I fly anywhere for $80.
Man, like, that is wild.
It's pretty unbelievable, actually.
Yeah, that's wild.
So, you know, I'll send you some video of the office, but I'm sitting in this awesome office. You don't mind going down this rabbit hole, right? You're having fun?
I love it. Yeah, let's keep going.
All right. So in this office, so I meet the owner, and it turns out he went to the school that my kids, I'm now thinking about. I just got off that bike. I meet him. He went to the school. He confirms this is an unbelievable school. And I tell him what I'm thinking of doing. He says, you know what you have to do? I said, what? He said, you have to come across the street with me and look at this office space I have. I've invested in 40 companies that are all health and wellness driven companies, red light therapy, Nestri brain technologies, where we look at people's brains, blood flow constrictors, all this cool stuff. Kind of like, you know, if you envision 007 down the basement during one of the movies where he's getting all these gadgets or whatever, or Christian Bale in Batman Begins, right? Yeah. When the butler is giving him those cool gadgets. So he walks me over into this space where I'm sitting right now, and there's all these companies he invested in, and it's a big, big warehouse space. And he's like, just take some space. We'd love to have you here. And if you ever want to put events on here, we got a lot of land. Turns out, by the way, this family owns 25 million acres of land around the world.
That is insane.
Digest that.
Yeah.
25 million acres of land around the world. So if you look at a map of Australia, the top dead center they own, as an example. Cool. But he's like, take some space. Happy to have you here. We'll support you and mingle. You'll hang out with some cool people. So for the first 6 months, I'm in this. So I do it. I'm a crazy person. We move. 3 days later, the kids are in a new school. We're down here. We're not giving up the farm. We're going to go back and forth to the farm a lot. In the summers, we'll spend up on the farm. But we pivot immediately, parachute in, set up in the school, rent an apartment. And I'm in this office, and I see these guys like welding. In addition to these guys, I see these guys welding and fixing and hammering. And I assume they're the maintenance guys. I go over, I say, hey, you guys are maintenance guys because the toilet's not. And they're like, No, you probably don't know us. We invented the LED light bulb, but we got this stuff. I'm like, what? Goes, yeah, we work for the CIA and NASA, and we do really cool shit. And we got this other little red light company while we're here. So there's all these cool things going on in this office where we are. We share it.
Inspiring.
And now I've got it's amazing. Yeah. And we got 35 people now down here. I still have people in Boston. I got a few people in Vermont. I got some people in London, and I got, you know, easy flights in and out. And the kids, by the way, the kids are thriving. Oh, story gets better. The wrestling program is like
lights out.
I cannot lights out. The boys have jumped 10 levels in their capabilities and their rankings. And it's been unbelievable.
That's incredible. Just kind of that uncomfortable decision. And then I don't really believe there's coincidences. And so for you just to land on the ground there and have all those things kind of fall right in front of you is amazing.
I'm not even supposed to tell you this, but let's have some fun. So I think people that are listening right now are watching, right? We get stuck as human beings. If you had played through the story I just told everybody, it would have been hard to make those decisions. You wouldn't have moved that fast. You might not have done it at all. There were people around me that were saying they were going to move, but they didn't actually pull the trigger. They didn't do it. So fast forward. And like you said, like the universe was calling, stuff just starts to fall in place. But I find myself in a really difficult situation. I've been here on and off now 2 years. And I find myself about a year ago in this really tough situation where we had burned through all our cash. Re-entering into the universe, because remember, the races were shut down. Coming back in was more expensive than shutting down.
Man.
I had to book 250 venues at once. I had to hire back 300 plus people. I had to pay for insurance, start all the trucks up. It was so expensive that we were basically bankrupt. We were barely going to make payroll in a week. The Wall Street Journal calls and writes an article about how Joe's not paying his bills. Cover story of the bankruptcy section, because they figure if they put Spartan in the newspaper, it's going to sell more newspapers. They get more clicks, right?
Man.
And so I'm completely broken. We borrowed a bunch of money from the government as part of the COVID, you know, the PPP programs, the CARES Act, et cetera. And I don't know what to do. I mean, we're out of money. We're tapped out. We got this government loan. I got the Wall Street Journal writing the article. And so I decide to look up the Federal Reserve, the phone number. I Google Federal Reserve phone number. And there's a phone number that comes up. And I call the Federal Reserve. This is like 14 months ago. And they answer the phone. There's somebody that answers the phone at the Federal Reserve. And I set up a Zoom call, and I'm talking to human beings. It's unbelievable. And I explain my situation, and they know Spartan. And we start negotiating and working. And I'm like, I got this big loan and I need some help. And finally we come to a place where they said, look, we'll help you. We'll adjust some things. We'll move the loan around to make it work for you, but you're going to have to bring in other capital. And so this family that I met here, this family that owns all this stuff I just told you, they heard the story and they go, we got you. Don't worry about it.
Man, that is insane.
Had that not happened, you know what I mean? There weren't a lot of people that were just saying, I got you.
Yeah. Something was calling you like specifically to Orlando, to that assault bike for that exact reason. That is wild.
Crazy story.
I've used a ton of Bluetooth speakers over the years, and they all have never quite had enough output for me to really have an awesome home gym workout on a Bluetooth speaker. But the TurtleBox is in a whole new ball game. They have leveled up this product, so the bass and the output you get out of a TurtleBox is quite amazing. It's funny how we started using them at the lab. We had an awesome sound system at our new lab here in Bozeman. We were using it so much, we actually blew our brand new system out. We went right to the TurtleBoxes. And so we paired two together in the lab. And that was a lot of output for the Mountain Tough team and all of our testing to have phenomenal sound in our gym for a great workout with great music. We know there's a ton of Mountain Toughers training in their basements, in their garages, and I know a lot of you are looking for great sound to play some music in the background to your MGDs or your kettlebell diesel. This is a great product for you to check out. TurtleBox is at a whole new level. The bass and the volume you can get out of that box. It's a sweet product. You guys can check them out at turtleboxaudio.com. Again, that's turtleboxaudio.com. You've been listening to the Mountain Tough podcast. And how are the 35 employees there with you doing now? Do you see that difference between folks working at home and the culture?
It's a crazy thing. A couple of thoughts on this. Again, everybody listening is sticking their finger in their mouth wanting to vomit because Joe is saying we should be in an office. I get it. But let me comment on a few things. One is, I noticed that new people we hired come into an office. People we had working for us that went through COVID together, they don't want to come into an office. So it's odd. It was very odd to me that a new employee expects to come in an office. The prior employee somehow, because they got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the issues we deal with in life and business and family, in my opinion, goes down to one root cause. And I need everybody to look in the mirror on this one. The root cause of it is we are inherently lazy creatures. We are designed to actually not do the work. Our brains require so much energy to do these things we talk about, exercise, work, waking up early, putting the phone down, not eating the cookie. that is so much energy that the brain says, don't do it. The brain thinks we're not going to see food again for a while. So it tells you to consume the cookie. Mm-hmm. The brain thinks the cold plunge is going to kill us. So it tells you not to get in the cold plunge. The brain thinks driving to work is going to expend so much energy and so much frustration. It is a danger. Don't do it. And the sooner we recognize that our brains, our bodies are designed to actually be in comfort, then the sooner we'll understand that's the reason, that's the real reason you don't want to do this or you don't want to do that. Or mm-hmm. like how many, I've had 10 million people do a race, 10 million people. I've had a lot of one-on-one conversations and everybody gives me the same, like ridiculous excuses on why they can't do it, why they quit, why, like, and it all goes back to that root cause. It's just your brain making up a bullshit excuse to avoid what it deems dangerous.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think the negotiations that happen in our head all the time, the sooner you can shut those down, the better. Like not even letting those negotiations start when the alarm clock goes off or when you do need to step into that cold plunge. When you start negotiating with yourself, you're going to lose. I mean, we can't out negotiate ourselves. It's, for me, it's a better approach to just not let that negotiation start.
Don't even get into it. I do a lot of podcasts myself, and I did learn something amazing that I use. It's a little trick, which is, yeah, I don't want to do the 5 minutes in the cold plunge today. I don't want to do it. All right, we're just going to do a minute. All right, we could do a minute. A minute turns into two, two turns into three, right? I don't want to do the burpees today. I'm not doing 300 burpees. All right, we'll just do three. All right, we could do three. Three turns into six, turns into nine. Before you know it, 300 is done.
It's the start. Right?
So, yeah, so I will lie to myself. I lie to others too, by the way. A lot of people don't know this. I'm gonna say this on this podcast. There's a chance. It's risky for me to tell you this. I have something brewing that's hilarious that we should just keep in your audience and not share with everybody. Ready?
Yeah.
At the end of this year that just passed, 2023, I put out this challenge. I said, look, there's 5 days left. Let's get after it. Let's do 10 miles a day on the Airdyne bike. If you don't have one, do 300 burpees. If you can't do the burpees because you got a shoulder hurt or whatever, go for a 10-mile run. But let's do one of those three things for the next 5 days. Let's finish the year strong. Anybody who does it, I'll hook you up big time.
Mm-hmm.
And so like 1,800 and something people did it. They came back. I said, all right, here's the hookup. One of your choices on the three hookups I could do for you guys is I've got this farm in Vermont. We'll get together at the end of June. We'll put together a really cool conference with speakers and biohackers. And like, we'll sit around and like by the fire and really just like level up.
Mm.
The reality is they are all doing the death race. They don't know this.
No way.
Do not tell my audience. Keep it here in this little day, right?
It is
going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
They are showing up. It's going to be awesome. So I've done this for 25 years where I've lied to people and said, oh, come for a barbecue, this, that. And they don't know they're the ones being barbecued. But
that is awesome. And they're going to be the right people too, because it's the people that finish that challenge.
Exactly. I suspect it's not going to be too much of a stretch. And I think, I shouldn't say I think, I know that when I put them through what I'm going to put them through, they're going to be happier. We know they're going to be happier. They did it.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's going to be really interesting to just watch the reactions when you tell them that to see.
I'm going to film it. I'm going to film the whole thing. It's going to be great.
I love seeing that. Just seeing who's going to blink, who's going to get frustrated, but also who's going to just be like, sounds good. Let's go. I mean, we see that all the time. At Mountain Tough, where we'll put like a big false finish at the end of a nasty workout. And so we could have like an hour long team-based workout and the team has to come around the corner to the finish. And for a lot of years at events, I would stand there and let them know, all right, false finish, casualty carry. You got 400 meters, heaviest guy off the ground. And a lot of folks would have a little bit of a mental breakdown right there. Like, you got to be kidding me. We pushed so hard for the finish. And we had the chance to work with the Ranger Regiment last week. And we trained them in groups of 20 up to 60. And throughout the week, we saw every time we tried any sort of false finish like that, they didn't even pause for the slightest second. They would just, whatever you told them to do, they would just grab that guy and go. They didn't blink. They didn't think about it. They didn't complain. I think watching what happens to those 1,800 people that show up will be really interesting.
It's going to be awesome. By the way, you can have my farm anytime you want and have your East Coast Mountain Tough division.
Yeah.
Location. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That's yours whenever you want it. You 700 acres. It's a playground. I got some cabins in the woods. We built a stone staircase, a 1 mile long stone staircase. I made them build 1 year, the participants. So it's yours whenever you want it.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yep. Well, let's back up. I want to talk to you a lot today about mindset, mental toughness. And to start, let's go back to the bankruptcy almost moment. And for me, that's a big one just because Mountain Tough has been my baby for so long. And especially in the early days going through financial turbulent times were extremely hard for me. That's a hard one, I think, to navigate, especially when you look at payroll and anytime you potentially might have to let team members go and you're trying to navigate all that are extremely difficult times. How was that for you and what kind of mindset was helpful getting through that situation?
Well, I mean, you're going to agree with this, but had I not been trained, we practice math, we practice piano, we practice cooking, but many of us don't practice hard. Had I not practiced hard my whole life, even if it was self-imposed, the cold shower, the burpees, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have started to learn. We all start to learn, unlike the folks that broke down at your false finish. We start to learn that this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't kill me. It sucked. I hated it, but it didn't kill me. And that's why older people generally have more endurance than younger people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I practiced hard. I started to understand that saying, this too shall pass. What I was not ready for was that it was a long, drawn out 500 false finishes, go to bed every night, not know if we're going to be in business tomorrow. Like, I didn't, you know, it's easy to deal with pain if it's like, all right, we know the beginning, we know the end, right? Like,
take the hit.
If it just drags on and it never ends, and you literally, and so I'm on the very tail end of it still right now, but I'm definitely seeing sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely seeing sunlight. I can easily see there's very few companies. I believe 95% of companies that start fail. 95% fail. And I would imagine going through what I just went through, most of them fail because it's easy to tap out.
Yeah.
It would have made perfect sense. No one would have laughed at me. I could have easily justified going bankrupt and not paying any of the bills because we were an event company and we got shut down. It wasn't our fault. I could pass the blame on somebody else.
External.
Yeah. But I didn't. When I think about Hearst, by the way, Hearst is a 100-year-old media company. or any of the companies that are, you know, 100 plus years old, there was somebody in there that just wouldn't stop. And you can't tell me that every one of these companies, even the guys here that I described earlier, they don't know 25 million. You can't tell me they don't all go through rough time. Like when you're talking about 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 years, every company goes through incredibly turbulent times. And that owner, that founder, that CEO, like, by the way, if I was a hired CEO, if I wasn't the founder, easy to tap out.
Different. Yeah. There's not as much skin in the game.
No reputational risk. Just like, what am I really doing this for? The other thing, when I think about quitting, because I think about this a lot, when I think about quitting in life in general, I've come to the conclusion that it's okay to quit. But the magic, the question, the difficult part is, when is it your brain, your soft, lazy brain we described earlier, just wanting to take the easy way? And when is it appropriate to quit because there's potentially a fatal outcome? So the example would be, we're climbing Mount Everest, you and I, and we're 100 meters from summiting. And I want to be the greatest family man that ever lived. That's my goal. That's my purpose in life. That's my why. And you want to be the greatest mountain climber that ever lived. And you are one summit away from setting the world record. You have no kids. You're young. This is all you live for. You're writing a book on it. You eat, drink, and sleep setting this damn world record. You're Alex Honnold, right? And we're 100 meters from the summit and bad weather rolls in. And all the Sherpas say to us, got to turn around. Well, I probably quit because my why, my purpose is my family.
Your why.
I just had two children, right?
Yeah.
You probably don't. You probably go for it.
Yeah, the risk.
You got a, right? You got a different why. You got a different purpose. And so now the problem is, you and I are both tired. We're both out of oxygen and both our brains are fried. And what's seeping into both our brains is quit. It'd be easier. It's too dangerous. Go down. You can get a hamburger when you get down. There's music playing. But if you could pull out an index card at that moment and just take a look at the why that you wrote when you were at base camp and the one that I wrote, mine clearly states turn around. Yours says, go for it.
Yeah. That happens.
Right?
Yeah. And that's happening every day of our lives in different ways.
Every day.
So let's,
every day.
We should unpack that a little bit. Joe, what year did you start Spartan? What did your why look like then compared to what your why looks like now?
I did a great podcast yesterday that really brought that into clarity, which was, what am I great at? What are you great at? Well, I'm really great at getting people to do things they don't want to do. I'm great at it. My dad was great at it. My friends would come over to my house when I was a kid and somehow, you know, we wanted to watch a movie and somehow we started putting up sheetrock and we're painting and we're sweeping. Like, that was not the plan. Somehow my dad had Mr. Miyagi'd us into, right? So I picked up that gene. I'm really good at getting people to do things they don't want to do. Number two, what am I really, really passionate about? I just love being outside. I love mountains. I love, hiking. I love getting dirty. I love being exhausted. And then three, what are my values? I love changing lives. I love hearing people say to me, I'm back with my husband. I'm back with my wife. I stopped drinking. I lost 200 pounds. Nothing makes me happier. That is compensation for me to hear those things, right?
Yeah.
So when I started Spartan, I obviously knew all that stuff existed, what I just described, but I didn't lay it out on a piece of paper and say, I'm starting this because I'm really good at changing people and getting them to do things they don't want to do. I'm really passionate about being, you know, outside and doing hard things. And here are my, I didn't lay that out. I just said, man, if I could build a business where I get to do stuff I like to do selfishly, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit at a desk typing emails, being a Bloomberg, getting yelled at by clients that their lunch didn't come on time that I was supposed to get delivered to. Like, I want to do this cool shit as a business. And then as I started getting the feedback from the customers and I started realizing how it made me feel to hear that I impacted their life positively somehow by laying out barbed wire and rope climbs. Like I was like, this is why we're doing this. This is what we're doing. And we're gonna put a crazy goal out there. We're gonna do everything we can to change 100 million lives. I don't know why it's 100 million, but we're gonna, you know, it's possible we could change 100 million lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're gonna do. And you say it enough and you start believing it and it becomes part of your DNA. And so when you're going through what I went through, what I described to you, and the wheels are falling off the bus, and I really just, when you get to a place, the last 3 years, when you get to a place where you just want to go to sleep, for me, like some people, I guess they drink, some people eat. I found myself wanting to go to sleep because that was easier than being awake. And that's so far from my personality, right? Like, I just wanted to go to bed. Like, there was so much stress.
Just shut it down.
So many vendors that needed to be paid, so much shit. And, but then I remember, we're going to change 100 million lives. Hmm. Don't forget the why. We're going to change 100 million lives. We got, what's that? Oh, and then I put on my first race coming out of the pandemic in Jacksonville, Florida. Which is probably another reason why I ended up in Florida, right? Because they were the one state that allowed us to put races back on coming out of COVID. So I had a positive interaction with the state down here.
Mm-hmm.
But people just came up to me and started crying at that first race. They just started crying. They were shaking. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, shamefully, I was on the farm in Vermont. I didn't feel what they were feeling, stuck in an apartment or whatever they were going. Like, I had 30 people around me on the farm. I was training the kids every day. I was like, my life really didn't. It was better in some ways, my life, outside of the business mess. But most people were stuck in a house somewhere. They weren't seeing other human. Like, it was fucking crazy.
They needed it so bad. Yeah.
So it really came into focus that my purpose is to change people's lives. And if that means I got to listen to a few chirpers on social media talking about how I screwed everybody because the races got shut down, or a vendor that wants to kill me and send some Italian guys to my house unless he gets paid. Like, I could deal with it all because I just want to change lives.
That why. Yeah, that why is so strong. You can endure anything.
Yeah.
What year did you start?
I started this 24 years ago. I started in the year 2000, 2001, right before the towers came down, 9/11.
Man.
First race I put on was down with Richard Branson in the British Virgin Islands. Yeah.
That first year or two, did you feel the feeling that the market was just kind of sitting there waiting for you to exist?
Well, I was competing in events. I traveled around the world at that point for 6 or 7 years doing all these nutty events everywhere I could find them. And so I knew the market existed, but it was tiny. Mm-hmm. I mean, tiny. You'd be lucky if there was 100 people at an event. It was a very small knit community. And so when I started in 01, I thought maybe there's 50,000 people globally that would do some of this shit. But I convinced myself those 50,000 they would inspire others to do really cool, crazy stuff. So those 50,000 were important.
Yeah, that's kind of how it worked too. I mean, it definitely snowballed out of that big time.
That's what happened. And by the way, I should have quit a lot. Like from 2001 to 2010, cumulatively during that entire 9-10 years, if 1,000 people did one of my events, it would have been a lot. Mm-hmm. In the entire 10 years, I was lighting money on fire.
And you've had 10 million people through Spartan Races now.
Between Spartan, Tough Mudder, Trail, we've had 10 million people do one of our events.
That's insane.
Insane.
Yeah, you probably hard to visualize even anything like that 24 years ago.
I wouldn't have bet. It was so hard to convince a coworker or my sister or anybody to do one. Like, no way would we ever get 10 million people.
Yeah. Mountain Tough is the fitness app trusted by the dedicated. Mountain Tough ethos is backed by, we've always wanted to be the best in the world at helping our customers become more mentally tough. So inside the Mountain Tough app, you're not only going to find all of our physical training programs, but you're going to find additional training as well so that you can stay sharp physically, mentally, spiritually, and nutritionally. The Mountain Tough app also allows you to train no matter where you are, anytime, anywhere. Additionally, the Mountain Tough app is going to have programs from beginners all the way up to elite athletes. And all of our programming is structured in a way that you can start with no gear at body weight, and you can go all the way up to programming that is full gear. So you can do that in a robust home gym or your local gym. There's no excuse for you not to start today. With Mountain Tough, you can conquer your goals with the ideal program for your lifestyle and schedule. Train with equipment or just your body weight on your phone, tablet, TV, or web browser. Most importantly, Mountain Tough will help you train your mindset so you are always ready for anything life throws your way. Mountain Tough is offering the Mountain Tough podcast listeners an incredible offer. 6 weeks free on the Mountain Tough app. All you need to do is use the code MTNPOD to redeem your 6 weeks of training. That'll be a 14-day free trial plus a whole additional 4 weeks of training. Just go to mountaintough.com and enter code MTNPOD for your 6 weeks free on the best-in-class physical and mental training app. Listening to the Mountain Tough podcast. Where do you fall in the category of, let's just focus on America for this one right now, but do you fall more on the hopeful, optimistic side or more on the negative side of the spectrum from the perspective of Americans being more lazy, inactive, kids are weaker than ever before. Their bones aren't even strong enough to handle a lot of these like special operations selection schools. Even if we get them fit, we're running into, you know, weak bone problems. On that kind of spectrum of, you know, far extremes are that we are being controlled to be fat, lazy, and happy, all the way to, you know, the extremes of just technology alone is making us an unhealthy country. But in terms of how we get out of this and how we do better as a society over the next 10, 20 years, what are your thoughts there?
Big thoughts. Lots of thoughts on this. So let's all hold hands on this idea that we're all lazy. We're inherently lazy, right? Brain, we talked about it. Brains, our subconscious, are designed to protect us. made perfect sense 1,000 years ago in the lives we live doesn't make any sense right now. So we got to recognize that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in, you know, the greatest country ever, but that country is built with a democracy in this capitalistic system. And in this capitalistic system, we all sell stuff to each other. And you don't make a lot of money selling celery. You don't like, you don't make a lot of money selling, you know, push-ups and, you know, I know,
yeah.
But you make a lot of money selling sugar, and you make a lot of money selling pharmaceuticals, and you make a lot of money selling cigarettes and, you know, powdered formula for infants because breastfeeding is not cool. And some really smart people, look, I'm going to come all the way around and answer the question more succinctly, but let's have, like, if you and I owned a food company, and people listening know how you and I feel, we want to take care of people, we want to keep people healthy. Mm-hmm. And so we're pretty altruistic, we're pretty motivated to do the right thing. But if we ran a food company and that food company went public, we would very quickly start to feel pressure internally and externally to make sure we make our quarterly numbers. And we would get asked to find ways to cut the ingredient costs. And we would figure out ways to make the snacks we sell a little more tasty, so we sell a little more and revenue goes up. And we're not evil people, mm-hmm. but we're working within this system that is asking us to do those things. And so before you know it, you get unintended negative consequences, which is 800 calorie whipped cream covered sprinkled coffee drinks that people are walking around with. Like, that's how you end up there.
Yeah.
Right. And now the problem is that my daughter, my young daughter, how would she possibly know that that is not what she should be doing? Mom and dad will tell her that, but she sees her friends doing it. Mm-hmm. She sees the commercials. She sees the billboards, right? How would she know that that's not what she's supposed to do? I was very fortunate. I had a mom who found yoga, meditation, salad, long distance running in the 70s. She fought the trends. She went up against it with my, you know, as a kid, I don't want any part of it. Everybody was fighting her, but she stayed stoic and she pushed. And eventually, you know, 20 years later, I finally accepted what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't have her, and all my friends didn't have, my friends, by the way, didn't have parents that were doing that, but only because of my mom did we all learn this stuff, we would fall into the trap. We would have weak bones. We would sit most of the day. We would be overweight. We might even get caught up in this bullshit content, you know, echo chamber of, you know, the military is no good and these wars that we're fighting for the wrong leaders. And like, we get caught up in that nonsense conversation, right? And so you can't really...
Yeah. That just surrounds them. I mean, it's surrounding them from all different components, even as parents. Well,
yeah,
even as parents. Right. So, it's crazy.
So then you can't really blame them. So you could, I'm an optimistic person, you could say, okay, we're doomed, but somehow my kids are okay. Like, I train them 7 days a week, 365 for, it had to be 12 years straight. Mm-hmm. 12 years straight, two a days. So like, if I did it and you did it, and there's a few of us that did it, and then all of a sudden Whole Foods popped up and they started selling some healthy stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Gary Brecka's all over. Like, and so what's interesting about our country is, you know, the pendulum swings really far, but I have hope. I have optimism that it'll come back. But you and I, you, myself, probably 1 million of us in this country could solve this in about 5 seconds. You could solve this whole issue in 5 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd overtax the shit food. You'd subsidize the good food. You'd get it into the neighborhood, right? Like, so now people make choices. Do you want to spend, I'm being ridiculous on purpose, do you want to spend $30 for that 800 calorie? But we did it with cigarettes,
yep.
right? So And by the way, the celery and the carrots are like 15 cents. Mm-hmm. So you decide what you want, right? And so you do that, you'd put PE back in every school. And what I would do, there's a lot of generals and colonels and senior military that retire each year and they get nice pensions. Maybe you give them even better pensions and you say, hey, listen, you're retired, but I need you for 7 years to go into that neighborhood and that school and you know, turn that into a military operation, get those kids in shape, get the drugs out of the street. There's enough retired military with really great vision and really great discipline and really great commitment to our country that could easily turn around our worst neighborhoods, our worst schools. You'd obviously put PE, like all the schools should, like there should be 100 burpees buy-in to just walk in the friggin' door every morning in any school. Like that's super simple.
Yeah.
I would shut the hot water off in everybody's house, right? Everybody would be taking cold showers.
Countrywide.
I would subsidize healthcare. So like you just, it's very simple. Like you, every quarter you got to go weigh in. I got to check your fat percentage. If you're checking all the boxes and doing the right things, your insurance is dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. If not, you're going to wait online at the hospital. It sounds terrible, but you got to do it. You're going to wait online at the hospitals. You're going to have, you know, a whole different experience when it comes to insurance and medical help. By the way, I never want to hear another veteran talk about how they have a bad experience with the VA. You got to fix that. You got to over compensate uniform services mm-hmm. for the work. People, there's a great story. I'm being told I got 5 minutes and I'm so excited. I could talk for another 2 hours, but there's a great story where these great runners come from this town in Kenya and they said, oh, maybe it's the air. Maybe it's the water. Maybe they do something different there. Why are all these great runners coming from this town? And they went and looked and what they found was that there was a runner that won one of the big marathons in the world and got paid a lot of money and went and bought a Mercedes and a nice house on a hill. And all the kids growing up are looking at the nice house. They're looking at the Mercedes. They're saying, I want one of those. I better start running.
Yeah.
Right. And then so if you overcompensate and take care of uniform services and you make that so badass, they're getting, you're a veteran, you're getting fed grapes, fan.
Yeah.
Right. And all of a sudden the kids, everybody in the country wants to be one of those.
Positive reinforcement.
Yes.
For sure. I love it, Joe. That's awesome. I think that there is a lot of work to do, but I do have hope that, you know, stuff like what you're doing and transforming lives, the ripple down effect is definitely working.
Well, one last thing, by the way, which we should do, which I'm trying to talk to the Pentagon and the House about this, is you can't ask a kid, even my kids, who basically grew up in the military. I mean, they were in budge training every like I'm a crazy person. Even my kids are not raising their hand and saying, "Put me in, Coach. Mm-hmm. I want to join for 6 or 8 or 10 years." Because that you're asking for a big commitment. But if you said to them, just like we said earlier, hey guys, it's just for a day, yep, or it's just for a week, or it's just for a year, every kid could get their head around it. You put every kid into the military for a year or two coming mm-hmm. out of high school. You change the whole country overnight.
I love
change
that.
Change the whole country overnight.
Yep. Get them in with a bite-sized chunk. And then once they're there, they're gonna fall in love with it.
They're gonna fall in love with it. I can't even tell you how many young kids I've had come out to our death camp on the farm. Which any kid, by the way, that's listening to this, or any family that you know, kid, your kid, let me know. Just the last 2 weeks of June on the farm, okay. And then by the way, anybody you send, they'll see the people coming for the fake out
from the challenge
But. Oh, so the kids that come, I've been doing the kids' death camp for, let's call it a decade. The kids that come, 15 years. These are like kids that are never going to join the military. You're saying to yourself, I had a kid last year, 2 years ago, patent leather shoes, khakis, button-down shirt. No chance is this kid. He's wearing an ascot. He's eating caviar. His parents sent him to the farm for me to beat the shit out of him. He's never going in the military.
Yeah.
He's asking me now about ROTC.
So awesome. Yeah.
Right?
You just have to taste
2 weeks
it.
On the farm, and this kid, like, that's all you got to do. You got to give him a taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that hard work. I mean, it's just so gratifying, the discipline, and they start feeling better. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, I know
I had a lot of fun. You got to come on my podcast.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. And thanks so much for your time today. I know you got to jump, but I feel like we could chat for 2 or 3 more hours. So we should definitely do a part two as well.
We should do a part two. This is the longest podcast I've ever had.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I definitely want to come out and see you in Vermont as well. Or Orlando, maybe.
Farm is yours. Mountain Tough East.
Yep. You need a big thing on the beach now in Florida.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we do need it. Well, I told my friends here that own all this land, right outside my office where I'm sitting talking to you, is a huge tract of land with cows and stuff. And I said, can I just put like a cabin over there? And I need a bunch of wood. I need to chop wood. He thinks I'm nuts. But like, I kind of want to move Vermont to here.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You're the man.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. What a phenomenal conversation with Joe. Everything he said was so helpful to me. It's stuff that we talk about at Mountain Tough all the time. My favorite in there, though, was he had a couple sentences where he said, we practice piano, we practice cooking, we practice soccer, but we do not practice hard. And that is so true and so accurate. If you do not practice hard, when life punches you in the face, you're not going to be ready for it. You're not going to be prepared. You're not going to know what to do. He dialed that in really well there. Think about that. Take that nugget away from this conversation and think about your own personal life. How am I practicing hard? Am I practicing hard at all? If not, you need to get that as part of your protocol, whether that's fitness, hiking, running, plunging. Do something hard every day so that when life does punch you in the face, you're able to get right back up. Joe did a great job breaking that down. That was a really fun conversation. He's got a good passion and energy. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can keep up with Joe by following him on Instagram. He's at Real Joe DeSena on Instagram. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on the Mountain Tough podcast if you haven't already. Those mean the world to the Mountain Tough team. We love seeing those, reading those, and we're always trying to improve and sharpen as well. So any feedback is welcome. And then check us out on YouTube at Mountain Tough Fitness Lab. Thanks for listening to the Mountain Tough podcast. We'll see you next week.